Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The U.S. Department of Transportation says it will examine Southwest Airlines' Monday meltdown. The agency says it's concerned about the airline's disproportionate and unacceptable rate of cancellations and delays. WCCO-TV reporter Kirsten Mitchell is at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
I was on hold for 6 hours. I literally fell asleep, woke up, and I was still on hold.
Jacksonville State basketball player Masango Mutanda is trying to make it to practice on Tuesday.
It's just been a long day, you know. I'm just trying to get to where I'm getting to and just get some sleep before practice.
While other airlines did have some issues, it was nowhere near the scale of Southwest Airlines.
A once-in-a-generation storm has hit western New York, winds reaching nearly 80 miles an hour. Buffalo buried in almost 4 feet of snow, says CBS's Nancy Chen, who begins her report now with a statement from Governor Kathy Hochul.
This blizzard is the one for the ages. Certainly it is the blizzard of the century. The most snow ever deposited in a 24-hour period in the history of New York State.
Among the 27 weather related deaths were three people who were trapped in their cars. A travel ban remains in effect in the Buffalo area.
Advocates for the homeless, along with social workers, volunteers, and police officers, have been checking on people outside, including in Charleston, West Virginia, where Taryn Wary was looking for anyone who needed to come in from the cold.
On days like today, when you can literally die within minutes on the streets, it's just really important to get people to places that are warm, to shelter, and to facilities that care and can help them.
And we're now hearing from Congressman-elect George Santos about reports that he made up much of his resume.
Santos has now granted interviews to conservative-owned media outlets, the New York Post and WABC Radio.
A lot of people overstate in their resumes or twist a little bit or ingratiate themselves. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that. I'm just saying I've done so much good work in my career.
He says he won't resign and plans to be sworn in next week. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
And now come the gift returns. Jonathan Poma is the CEO of Loop, a company that helps more than 1,500 retailers save on return costs, which are, he says, soaring.
About 40% of our merchants are charging for refunds, and that's up. It's nearly doubled in the last 12 months. When you start to stack these costs, free shipping on the outbound order, free shipping on the return, maybe a customer acquisition cost of $50, and you're out almost twice the cost of the return.
The jackpot for Tuesday night's Mega Millions, now $565 million. That's a cash value of more than $293 million. And this is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, it's a brand new week as we inch forward toward the shortest day of the year. That'll be, a week and a half from now, thereabouts? So that, I think it's the 22nd. 21st is the shortest day this year. Thank you, Sean. It's the beginning of a brand new week. We've got a lot to talk about today. Thanks so much for joining us. Is America blind to Trump's genocide? Now, wait a minute, you say genocide? Why? What the hell are you talking about? I'll tell you all about this in just a moment. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Steve Bannon brag that if they were running the January 6th insurrection, they would have succeeded. Their treason would have been successful. I'll tell you about that. It's getting pretty strange out there. And Elon Musk has sent the far right after Fauci, after Dr. Fauci, as Dr. Fauci responds by calling the trolls attacking him cowards. Specifically harassing his wife and children. We'll get into that in this hour. Also, in the second hour of the program, is Jared Kushner now in really big trouble? Vicky Ward, who wrote a book called Kushner, Inc., and has been on this program in the past, is writing about this, and I will share with you at the opening of the second hour what she has to say about Jared Kushner, that it's very, very troubling, shall we say. Also in our second hour, a geeky science, is there was a fusion breakthrough. I want to kind of put this in the context of the breakthrough of the transistor that happened when I was a little kid. It's an amazing story. And I'll tell you about this in the second hour of the program. In the third hour of the program, our single guest for the hour or for the day will be with us, Frank Clemente. He's with, what's the name of the group here? He's the executive director of Americans for Tax Fairness, and he wants to talk about Congress and how they want to raise taxes. Well, some voters anyway want Congress to raise taxes on big corporations, but politicians seem committed to cutting them. We'll talk about that. And also in the third hour of the program, a new group that is being run by Stephen Miller. He's calling it the response to the ACLU, an anti-ACLU group. Is having some successes at blocking programs specifically designed to help out minorities who basically have been screwed by hundreds of years of systemic racism. So we'll get into that in the third hour of the program. So an awful lot to talk about today. Plus your calls. Plus, you know, continue to maintain our kind of anything goes holidays, more or less. If there's something on your mind you want to talk about between now and Christmas, just give us a shout. So all that is on the list for the day. To start out, my op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com, my daily take, is titled, Is America Blind to Trump's Genocide? Now, those of you who have been longtime listeners to this program know that I was ranting about this a year ago. And I began ranting about this back in the middle of 2020. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only person who's pointing this out. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I mean, I think that's actually a bad sign Maybe my opinion really is a fringe opinion. Maybe I'm seeing patterns here where none exist. The media certainly doesn't seem to think that there's a pattern here, or if they do, they're not talking about it. But let me just lay it out for you, and you can let me know if you think I'm nuts here or if there's something to this story. I mean, this, just looking at the chronology of the coronavirus pandemic. First of all, in January, we started hearing about this. I mean, there were some inklings, you know, the federal government learned about it in November of 2019, thus COVID-19. But we really didn't hear much about it in the United States until January of 2020, when a couple of people in Seattle were infected. And, you know, it was just a couple of cases. And you know, Donald Trump had a private meeting with Bob Woodward. And he said, as he knew by that point in time, this was a killer virus. He said it, quote, rips you apart. But he also said he was going to downplay it because he didn't want to cause a panic. So on January 30th, the World Health Organization declared that the COVID outbreak was, quote, a public health emergency of international concern. The day after that, Louise and I went on a cruise with two of my brothers and about a half a dozen or a dozen of their kids, a bunch of their kids, and our kids, a couple of our kids, too. In fact, I think all three of our kids. And, you know, it was just a family vacation. And cruises are a cheap way to do a family vacation when you get people coming from all over the country with all different, you know, perspectives on what a vacation should be. And we got off that ship on February 8th, or we flew home on February 8th, and Louise and I were both sick. In fact, most of the people in our family were. In fact, probably two-thirds of the people on that cruise ship were. We don't know if it was COVID. I'm inclined to think it was RSV. But at the same time, that week that we got off, another ship, the Diamond Princess, was parked outside, I forget which harbor it was in Japan. But it was quarantined off the coast of Japan for a full 2 weeks. People had to, you know, were locked down. That was February. So February, we started seeing cases increase in the United States. By March 5th, there were 129 known cases in the United States and 11 deaths, which is pretty amazing, about a 10% death rate. Just 33 days later, from March 5th, On April 6th, we would hit 10,000 Americans dead of COVID. That's how rapidly it burned through America in March. Remember that? I mean, that was when Trump came out and said, okay, we're going to shut the country down. He made that order on March 11th and said we were all terrified, right? All of us. I mean, fear just ripped through our communities. It was stalking our homes. We were washing our groceries with bleach after picking them up from a store parking lot, from store workers wearing masks, goggles, gloves, in some cases, space suits. We bought up all the air filters in the country. We worked from home when we could. I did my show from home for over a year. We isolated ourselves from other people. And within those few weeks in March and early April, there were these huge COVID outbreaks, mostly all of them in blue states, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, and Washington State. Now, Trump, 2 years earlier, had shut down both of the federal pandemic task force, task forces, one in the Department of Defense and one in the White House that Obama had put into place as a result of the whole Ebola outbreak. Trump shut them down, so he had nothing. So he turned to Mike Pence and Jared Kushner and said, do something about this. And they actually started doing something. This was in early March. By March 7th, the U.S. deaths had risen from 4 to only 22. But that was enough to create federal action. Trump was putting doctors on TV every day. The media was freaked out as refrigerated trucks were starting to hold bodies in the New York hospitals. Doctors and nurses were our new heroes. The skies and the highways fell silent. The Dow collapsed. Millions of Americans were laid off. Over 10 million people were unemployed just in that 1 month. But saving lives was the number one consideration, right? Throughout the whole month of March. We even had, you know, Jared Kushner put together this little group of preppy 30-somethings that he knew from college to look for companies affiliated with Republican members of Congress who could supply PPE to hospitals. He had the post office ready to distribute 650 million masks to every American household. But then came April 7th. And keep that date in your mind, because that was the date everything changed. That was the date the New York Times ran a front page story with a huge headline: Black Americans face alarming rates of coronavirus infections in some states. Similar stories on April 7th ran in the Washington Post, on CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, and CNN. And the entire Republican Party and the Trump White House and all of the conservative media on April 7th did a collective, what? Really? It was like a lightning bolt burned through the right wing. Rush Limbaugh, that afternoon, said, with the coronavirus, I've been waiting for the racial component. The coronavirus hits African Americans harder, harder than illegal aliens, harder than women. It hits African Americans harder than anybody. Disproportionate representation. Now, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out why Black people die at higher rates of pretty much everything in the United States as a result of 400 years of institutional racism, you know, leaving the Black community with less access to health care and less access to resources, and more likely to be frontline low-paid workers who are the, quote, essential workers who had to show up. But that story, on that day, on April 7th, then the next day, Tucker Carlson goes, within a day or two, yeah, the same day, that day, Tucker Carlson says, we can begin to consider how to improve the lives of the rest, the countless Americans who have been grievously hurt by this, by our response to this. How do we get 17 million of our most vulnerable citizens back to work? That's our task. As well as vulnerable citizens, of course, he was talking about are disproportionately minorities, in my humble opinion. The House Select Committee, by the way, just last week issued a report on this, pointing out that it was overwhelmingly Black and Latina women who were getting infected and dying from COVID during that period of time. They said the Latina women make up 22% of grocery store workers. Black women make up 27% of women home health aides. Salaried workers, white people overwhelmingly, were telecommuting. But Trump wanted the essential workers back into the workplace. And he issued by April 7th, 12,677 Americans were dead. And on April 12th, Trump retweeted a call to fire Dr. Fauci. Now he was full in, hey, open the country back up again mode, because he believed it was mostly killing Black people. Now, if that isn't the definition of genocide, I need a new dictionary. On April 13th, but keep in mind, this all started April 7th. April 13th, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce publishes a policy paper implementing a national return to work plan. FreedomWorks, the next day, publishes an op-ed about economic recovery and shielding businesses from lawsuits. 3 days later, FreedomWorks and the House Freedom Caucus issue a joint statement saying it's time to reopen the economy. And then it goes on from there. You know, the Trump administration scrapped the plan to send masks. They stopped telling us to wear them. In fact, Trump started ridiculing them. And now we know from multiple good scientific studies that 400,000 Americans died who wouldn't have died if Trump had simply said, wear a mask and socially distance during that year of 2020.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What do you remember of that time? And do you believe, as I do, that this is an actual attempted genocide and that Trump should be charged for it? The holidays are here, and we're savoring every moment with the help of HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers chef-crafted recipes right to our door so we can skip the trip to the grocery store and spend more time celebrating the season with those we love. HelloFresh makes it easy to host a holiday meal or simply add some seasonal flavor to our weeknight dinner routine with their festive eats recipes and crowd-pleasing quick meals. Whether you're hosting a holiday party or just stocking up on snacks, you'll find it all at HelloFresh Market. From quick breakfasts to charcuterie boards and desserts, it's never been easier to prep for a party or fill your pantry. Plus, with over 35 weekly recipes to choose from, there's always something new to try and love. Louise and I love how flavorful HelloFresh meals are, and also how much we've learned about different sauces and cooking techniques. We bring that to other meals. Sign up today at HelloFresh.com/Tom21 and use the code Tom21, THOM21, for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's code Tom21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping at HelloFresh.com/Tom21. Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Meanwhile, as Trump appears to be getting away with an attempted genocide, an attempted mass murder of black and brown people, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Steve Bannon agree that if they were in charge of the January 6th coup attempt, it would have succeeded, and they would have brought weapons. They would have been armed. I want to tell you something, Marjorie Greene. This was over the weekend. She spoke to a group of Republicans in New York. She said, "I want to tell you something. If Steve Bannon and I had organized that, we would have won. Not to mention, we would have been armed." Amazing. Charles Boudreau, who is a federal judge, wrote in a May 22nd ruling, quote, "The evidence in this matter is insufficient to establish that Representative Green engaged in insurrection or rebellion under the 14th Amendment." Remember, they sued to try to prevent her from running for re-election because of her involvement in the insurrection. Well, she got away with that. But previously, she had said about the January 6th attackers, quote, "I am one of those people." But that's exactly who I am. And now she's about to join the leadership of the House of Representatives. She also, by the way, told this crowd of Republicans to applause over the weekend in New York that she would not support a single penny to help Ukraine fight the Russians. Not a single penny. This was a young Republican gala. And after Marjorie Taylor Greene got up and gave her little song and dance, the president of the group, Gavin Wax, of this young Republican group in New York State, he said, quote, and I'm getting this off rawstory.com, where you can find the story. It's titled, "We Want Total War." He said, quote, "We want to cross the Rubicon. We want total war. We must be prepared to do battle in every arena, in the media, in the courtroom, at the ballot box, and in the streets." He went on to say, "This is the only language the left understands, the language of pure and unadulterated power." Now, I realize most people listening to me right now probably not read William Shearer's book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Louise and I read it when we lived in Germany back in the 80s. That was the language that Hitler used about the Jews. He said, these people only respect power. These people will only respond to violence. This is literally what, he said it about trade unionists also, who had the temerity to strike, but particularly about the Jews. And apparently at this meeting, this young Republican meeting in New York, again, this is a quote from Newsweek now, from Newsweek editor, opinion editor Josh Hammer, quote, "Republicans publicly lauded members of an Austrian political party founded by World War II era German Nazi party members. Jack Prospiek was there. He was the guy who spread the Pizzagate conspiracy theory. The Southern Poverty Law Center wrote, quote, "Republican speakers repeatedly voiced anti-democracy, authoritarian ideology, and extremists in the audience cheered wildly. They support the AfD party in Germany, Alternative for Deutschland, and this Australian party, the FPO, Freiheitliche Partei Österreich." This was, by the way, in the same room, there were a number of Republican members of Congress, including George Santos, who represents part of the Queens in Long Island, Mike Collins from Georgia, and Corey Mills from Florida. So this is now a new thing. And the fringe in the GOP is now the Mitt Romney kind of Republicans. This, you know, it's amazing. The old-fashioned, oh, we're just here for the big corporations. That Republican Party is gone. They are now the fringe. The central core and main power of the Republican Party is now with the fascists.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We should do about that. We'll be back with your calls after this.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-673-1574.
800-6-WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Southwest Airlines had a meltdown Monday. Thousands of its planes never got off the ground. Zach Shaw is a customer whose flight from Columbus, Ohio to Miami was canceled.
The worst part about it is the cancellation came with no recourse, and their customer service phone number is offline. If you try to call it, you get a disconnected notice.
Much of upstate New York is buried in at least 4 feet of snow. WROC-TV reporter Ericetta Cost has that.
Linda Kaczynski has lived in the area since 1997. She says snowstorms are normal for her, but this one certainly stands out from the rest.
Total whiteout. I've never seen it going for days and days of wind and snow.
CBS's Carter Evans says there's a shortage of over-the-counter cold medicine for children.
The doctors we spoke with say a fever is a sign your immune system is working, and in many cases, a lukewarm bath will help soothe your kids.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers.
Taste the melody inside your lips, so sweet, so tender, and I know I'm just a still inside.
Linda and the Zeros.
It's too hot. Oh.
Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente. Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party. New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
In celebration of our first holiday season in Waukesha, WAUK Radio would like to say thank you for welcoming us into your homes, your schools, your businesses, and your vibrant neighborhoods. It was also our honor to broadcast the 59th annual Waukesha Christmas Parade, sharing the inspiration and magic of the season as our community continues to heal and shine.
Hey, Mayor Riley, if he's going to come by for a quick hello. Mayor, we brought the mic out just for you, Mayor.
Oh, this is great. This is beautiful.
We're really glad you're here. Chief Daniel Thompson, great to see you. Say hello. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. God bless everybody. Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks so much.
Together, we are Waukesha Strong.
And thank you all, of course, for listening and being a part of this broadcast. On behalf of Civic Media, I'm Mike Root.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network and your local stations, the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. Welcome Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. So what do we do about this? Do you agree or do you disagree with me that it appears that this whole U-turn, that April 7th was the pivotal day? In fact, I should probably go in and edit my article and put that at the very top. April 7th was the day the world turned or something like that. Anyhow, Bill in South Jersey, New Jersey. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Greetings to you. I don't call very often, but I read your earlier piece this morning about this story of the pandemic and Trump, and I wanted to call. So I got online early to call you.
So, what do you think?
First of all, March 12th, my daughter working in New York City got COVID. She was one of those early voices that got sick with that virus and was terribly laid up. April of 2020, I heard on the 7th and the 8th of April that Trump was seeing black people or people of color getting sicker and dying from COVID and decided to organize something. So I reached out, and we're all wearing masks and living out of fear with this virus. But I called two friends in Philadelphia with the Brandywine Peace Community, and I said, would you come with me to Fox News Station in Philly? It's at 4th and Market, and vigil outside. So we came, and we brought a sign that we had made up saying Fox News has blood on its hands. They're a voice for Trump's racism and lies, and that truth matters. And we stood there with that sign and took some pictures, so I still have those pictures on my phone. And then, of course, the world blew up. George Floyd died within 3 weeks on May the 25th, the summer of racism and sadness and violence that was happening, along with the election that was coming and organizing for that. And then January the 6th, on the 7th of January, I took that sign that I had and went back to Fox News and stood outside the station again, declaring them as supportive of Trump. Finally, in August of 2021, friends in New York, activists who've been doing a lot of work in a lot of areas, but they go by this call sign, riseandresist.org. They decided with me, they called me and said, we want to do this, but you started it. Would you be willing to have us do this at Fox headquarters on 6th Avenue and 48th Street, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And so we went there. We have been there every Tuesday, with the exception of some bad weather, like a snow day. We've been there every Tuesday since August of 21.
Wow.
Every Tuesday.
Wow.
And we've had Jen Senko. You've had Jen Senko on your show.
Sure, yeah.
We had Jen Senko come and stood there with us because of her father and him dying from COVID after listening to Trump on Fox. Mm-hmm. We have stood there every Tuesday. I haven't always gone up because I'm in, as you know, South Jersey, but I've gone up where I can at my age. I'm close to your age. I think I'm 73. I think you're 72.
Mm, 71. Yeah.
And so I've been up there periodically with them. And they were at the Marjorie Taylor Greene showdown on Saturday out at the Republican Club. They stood out front with their signs calling them out for all of their lies and misinformation and crime.
Wow.
So I just want to give you that heads up that we are people out there doing stuff, and we are trying to do good for the community that we all are part of.
God bless you, Bill. That is such an inspiring story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And keep us up to date as things go forward, okay?
Will do, bud.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Back at you. John in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Hey, I want to talk to you about COVID, but first I want to say it is so, I don't even know what word to use, but I cannot believe that a United States government allows terrorists to be part of it.
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking about Marjorie Greene, Trump was president. I mean, come on, these people are terrorists, and you know that, I know that,
well,
we all know that.
I think calling them terrorists might be a little over the top, but there's certainly, well, I don't know. You know, we can parse words, but you were going somewhere with that thought, John.
Yeah, So I want to talk about COVID because I love talking about COVID to people who realize that it's real and they believe in science versus somebody who thinks it's not. So what I think of, I understand COVID pretty well considering I'm not a doctor or a scientist. But, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but do you think that COVID is the only virus that became political and it's because we had Trump in the White House?
That's an interesting question. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the polio virus, you know, when the polio vaccine came along, you know, one year in I think I was in second grade, we all got sugar cubes, and then the next year we all got shots. That was Salk and Sabin. There was nothing political about it. Well, the John Birch Society was all hysterical about that. I remember that. But they were so marginalized that it really didn't catch any national attention. Can you think of one?
No, I can't.
Oh, AIDS was politicized. Ronald Reagan, for 8 years, refused to say the word AIDS. There's a virus that got politicized.
Yes, you're okay. Yes, I thank you for that. I forgot about that. But hey, what I want to talk about was COVID. So, you know, not only do I read the medical journal from Bloomberg every single morning, when I signed up to the Hartman Report, you do have an option of signing up to get COVID news as well. And I don't know if people know that, but the guy who writes that is very, very well. He puts everything very well and it's very, very simple to understand. And I've done a lot of tests that the CDC has not done. So, my wife and I were heavily vaccinated, but what we did was we would go get our antibodies tested before we got our booster shots, and then we would get our antibodies tested 14 days after our booster shots. What I find to be interesting was it had nothing to do with sex or weight. My wife and I, we would lose an average between 75 and 80% of our antibodies. So my attitude with COVID, we have never, never, ever caught COVID. And my attitude is you have to stay completely pumped up with antibodies in your body. Now, out here in Arizona, a lot more people are wearing masks. Now, we wear a mask when we hop on an airplane. We're actually getting ready to go to Paris next week to visit my parents who live there. Of course, I'm going to have a mask on. But when I'm in public places like the gym and shopping, I choose not to wear a mask for two reasons. One, I'm not going to, you know, my body is so pumped up with antibodies. I believe that I'm good. And second of all, when you don't wear a mask, I'm making my immune system even that much stronger because when you wear a mask constantly, it weakens your immune system.
There's no evidence of that, John. That's the kind of anti-vax conspiracy nonsense that's floating around our right-wing sites. Wearing masks or not wearing masks don't affect your immune system, with one exception. And this was a fascinating one. It was published day before yesterday on one of the science sites. I read this. And that is they think that they figured out why we get colds in the winter and we don't at other times of the year. And that is that when you inhale cold air through your nose, it kills these very delicate surface cells that contain the antibodies that neutralize the virus before they even get into your bloodstream. And that you can see a 60, 70, 80% drop in the availability of those infection-fighting cells inside the nose with just 10 or 15 minutes of exposure to sub-zero temperatures, to, you know, below zero, to breathing cold air outdoors. And if you wear a mask, you're keeping the air around your nose warm, and so you're not killing off those cells, and you're actually increasing your body's immune response. But John, I got to move along, but thanks for the call and the information. Alfredo in Mountain View, California. Hey, Alfredo, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. What's up, Alfredo?
Yeah, regarding this Kristen Sinema situation where she went independent, I wanted to hear your opinion about, first, having someone else run against her as an independent, and second, maybe Bernie Sanders, who is an independent, become a Democrat so he can get that balance of power back to the Democrats.
Well, Bernie's,
my answer will be yes, thank you.
Bernie's functionally a Democrat. The Democrats in Vermont typically don't run a candidate against him, or if a candidate does get on the ticket, it's kind of a gesture. It's not a real effort. The same thing with Angus King in Maine. But the big challenge, what's going to be real interesting to see, is whether Ruben Gallego actually can pull off, you know, I mean, he's probably the leading candidate for the Senate as a Democrat in 2024, and whether he can beat Kyrsten Sinema. She's going to run as an independent. This is her way of getting out of the primary. So she still has a chance to win this seat. And I think that, you know, and it's going to be interesting to watch her voting patterns over the next 2 years, because I think that she's reaching out for the essentially the John McCain Republicans, because the Republican Party will probably put up a wackadoodle in 2024. So, you know, we'll see. I just don't know how it's going to play out, Alfredo. I'm sorry. James in Philpott, Kentucky. Hey, James, what's up? What's on your mind? James, watching Free Speech TV in Philpott, Kentucky. James, you've got to be listening to your telephone, not your television, because there is a delay here. There's an obscenity delay here in the studio. Plus, it takes a few seconds for the signal to get to the satellites and bounce back down to your house and all that kind of stuff. I know Joyce usually tells people this when they call in. But I'll put you on hold and we'll let Joyce find out what's going on. Maybe you just forgot to unmute your phone. James is on line 5. We'll be right back with more of your calls in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
45 minutes past the hour. It's talk media for the rest of us.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. You know, Donald Trump wasn't such a terrible president other than inciting an insurrection against the government, mismanaging a pandemic that killed a million Americans, separating children from their families and then selling them off into foster care that where they literally vanished, tear gassing protesters in Lafayette Square. He had the worst jobs record of any president in modern history. He tried to blackmail a foreign country to get dirt on his opponent. He fired the FBI director for investigating his ties to Russia and Putin. He took Vladimir Putin's word over U.S. intelligence. He caused the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. He lied nearly 30,000 times. He vetoed a defense funding bill because it renamed military bases away from Confederate generals. He increased the national debt by $8 trillion. He had three of the highest annual deficits in U.S. history. Well, the list goes on. There's actually over 250 things on this list, and about two-thirds of it is on a video over at TomHartmann.com. Check it out. Welcome back. Picking up your calls, Morris in Long Beach, California. Hey, Morris, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I was 69 years old on Thanksgiving Day, okay? But I'm a junkie. I've been a junkie all my life, a political junkie, by the way, and I'm so grateful and thankful for a program like yours. Now, check this out. Ali Vauchi is doing an interview with Michael Cohen, okay? And you got to hear this interview. The best way to describe a Republican in the vernacular of Michael Cohen is to call them maggots, and that's what they are. Now, you really have to listen to this interview if you want to talk about credibility. Donald Trump is willing to burn down the United States of America. The 40 documents, top secret documents, I was boasting about this on your program weeks ago, Tommy, the 40 documents that Mr. Trump has changes the rules of the game. We can't touch him. We can't assassinate him. We can't jail him. We've got to find out what happened to those 40 documents. And understand that Mr. Trump, he's a grifter. He's a grifter. You keep calling him a mob boss. I mean, mob bosses live with principles and rules. This guy's a grifter. He has none. None whatsoever.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, and I want you to answer this question for me real quick. If the Trump Organization, is the Trump Organization, are they going to jail after being convicted? I mean, aren't they people?
No, they're not going to. No, in fact, that was yesterday, and that was Friday's op-ed, right? Was, you know, the we need to start putting corporations in jail, or the equivalent, you know, dissolving them and selling their assets off. But yeah, and your point is a fascinating one, Morris. You know, kind of asking the question or making the assertion that those missing, as far as we can tell, there's about 40 missing documents right now, top secret documents. Where did they go? I'd been assuming up to this point that they're in Russia or in Saudi Arabia, and this is why Saudi Arabia is giving billions of dollars to people affiliated with Donald Trump. And you know, and why Russia has you know, helped him become president, and all, you know, and the troll farms are still working, you know, to Trump's benefit. But
you stole my thunder. You stole my thunder. The Saudis have everything. Remember the golf tournament where they offered Tiger Woods $700,000 to come and play?
Yep.
He didn't go play, but some of the other guys took the money, right? That was cover. All of that thing was all about cover. They've got everything. And the best way to understand the Republican Party, their messaging, okay, because they can sound confusing. They're projectionists. They use a playbook, a projectionist playbook. Read a book called 100 Years of Lynching. Don't read the whole book. Just read the, I think he has a preface. And he talks about the word projection. And then once you understand how the word projection is used, right, then you'll understand the Republican Party. Because these guys are not American, Tom. They're the greatest threat to humanity. They're the greatest threat to democracy has ever seen, man. And just like Nancy Pelosi said, the enemy is within.
Yeah.
Behave yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Morris. Thank you. Johan in Los Angeles also. Hey, Johan, what's up?
I remember what went on when the virus was spiking in March and April 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What I remember was they are, especially Kushner in White House press briefing, he said it's our stockpile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And making,
Mm-hmm. He's talking
and
about
making profit.
Masks and PPE.
Yep. Yes, PPEs. And the other one is in Florida, people in the Fisher's Island, which is more than 90% white people, and then city of Miami, less than 10% when they get their PPEs.
That's right. That's right. The PPE was being distributed in places that the Trump administration viewed as friendly, basically, which is, you know, largely white communities, white conservative Republican communities. Excellent point.
And I don't find any surprises why they do what they do.
Yeah. Okay. Johan, thanks for the call. Mario in Chicago. Hey, Mario, what's on your mind today?
Thank you, Mr. Tom. I just want to put this out there, especially these gentlemen that are making so light about COVID. I am one of the most healthier 74-year-old men. Pretty close to Superman. I have the 5 vaccinations. I have all the flu shots. I never eat junk in my life. And I got COVID.
That happens.
I got COVID, hospital, and I was there for 3 days.
Wow.
And they told me the reason that you are in this position is because you took your 5 vaccinations. You took all the flu shots and you followed the rules. And the most important thing, the other people that are there, they are suffering and they're probably going to die because they not took the vaccinations. So I don't care how healthy you are, how smart you are, you're going to get it. And after you get it, you're going to give it to someone else if you are not careful. So don't have the misconception like this other gentleman that it's hunky-dory and everything is okay. No, it's not.
Yeah,
we have a problem.
There are still 350 people a day, roughly every day in the United States, dying of COVID. You know, we're still looking at about 300,000 new infections every single day. It's ripping through the country, and it's really going to be picking up speed as we go through the, you know, the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays. And excellent, you know, cautionary tale there, Mario. That even when you're fully vaxxed and boosted, particularly if you're over 70. You know, your immune system just starts slowing down. It doesn't work as well. This is why shingles pops up in people over 70. You know, it's the old herpes virus. It's the old chickenpox virus coming back at you, which is a form of herpes. Go ahead.
The ignorance is what's going to kill people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I'm glad that you made it through, Mario, and that you got out of the hospital well. You know, you would have been apparently in real trouble had you not been as well vaccinated as you were. Mario, thank you for the call and the testimony. It's great to hear from you. We're hitting the top of the hour. I want to come back on the other side. Musk, Fauci, Kushner, interesting times.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Wisconsin. He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.